Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Know you are saved. Can you know you're lost? I think you can know you're lost too. But the question this morning then is, when does a saved person become lost? Let's back this up a little bit. Here's how I think we oftentimes view our relationship with God. Kind of bouncing back and forth. You ever have those balls on your desk, you know, that dangle? You knock it one way and the other one bounces back and forth. I think that's how we view, a lot of times, our relationship with God. Another preacher, a friend of mine, called this hot potato theology. That we're constantly bouncing in and out of salvation. And I'll tell you the truth, I kind of believed this at one time. Now, it was something I believed when I was much, much, much younger, kind of as a child. But I asked one of my kids this question last week, and the question was, when are you lost? And they said, well, when you sin. I said, every time? That's a question we got to ask, right? I mean, sin does cost us our souls, it can, but are we lost every time we sin? Now, that's a big, weighty question, right? Because, I mean, I asked that Monday night for the master when I brought this up. I said, raise your hand if you sinned today. And all of you raised your hand, so you all admitted it, right? You know, at least the ones that were there. That we all sin. So is every time we sin, are we bouncing in and out of salvation? Because that's an important question. Because I remember being a kid, and I was worried about this. And maybe it's because I just had a lot of guilt because I did a lot of things I shouldn't do. But I remember always being worried that, oh man, if I sin, well, you have to confess your sins in prayer. You have to ask God to forgive you. If you ask Him to forgive you, then you're saved. And I've told you this before. I practiced, little legalistic Cliff Sabro, I practiced how fast could I pray for forgiveness of sins? Because I was worried. What if I'm in a car and I had just said a cuss word or lied or thought an impure thought and a truck is coming toward us and we're about to die? Father in heaven, please forgive me for all my sins in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I had it down. I was ready. Got to get rid of that sin just in case. And I think a lot, and that's a false theology. And I think a lot of times we go through life thinking, saved, not saved, saved, not saved. Is that what the Bible teaches us? Look, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, who's a pretty awesome Christian, writes this, and he's talking to the church in Rome about trusting in God's grace and believing in Jesus as a source of justification. Don't trust in self because self is going to let you down. In Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14, Paul basically pours out his heart in this passage. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold in the bondage of sin. Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. And then Paul says this, so no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And then he goes off here in verse 18. He says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. He goes, I want to do good, basically, and I'm kind of summarizing it here. I want to do what's right, but I end up doing what's wrong. Verse 19, for the good I want, I do not do, and I practice the very evil I do not want. And then he goes on in verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Verse 23 says, there's a war going on within me. My mind wants to do one thing. My body wants to do another thing. Back and forth, verse 24, he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? Paul, literally, great Christian man Paul, says, I know what I should be doing, and a lot of times I don't do it. That's sin. Paul says there is a war going on within him. I want to do the right thing, and I do the wrong thing, and I end up doing the wrong thing. I want to do the right thing, back and forth. He says, I have this war going on. And you would think, I feel you, Paul. I'm doing the same thing. I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm saved, I'm lost. But he doesn't say that. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Actually, verse 25 even of chapter 7. Let's back up. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with the flesh, the law of sin. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Therefore now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, even though he has that constant back and forth struggle with sin, he knows his conclusion is he's saved. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So no matter what sins you struggle with, and I struggle with, all those sins laid out there, Paul struggles with those too, and all Christians for all time have struggled with them. God has enough grace to cover our struggles with sin. We need to believe that. God is a gracious, loving, and merciful God, and He has enough grace to take care of us even when we sin. Now, we'll talk about, is it possible to fall away and all that here later on. But God has enough grace, big enough to cover our struggles with sins, all of them. All different types of sins. Sins of omission. That's where you don't do something you're supposed to do. God says, love your neighbor, and you don't. That is a sin. God has enough grace to take care of that. Sins of commission, where you do the things you're not supposed to do. God says, don't look at a woman to lust after her, and you do it. You committed a sin. God has enough grace to cover that sin. Unintentional sins, where you didn't even know it was wrong because you haven't got to that part of your Bible yet. God has enough grace to cover those sins. And even intentional sin. Now, Zinni, when I brought this up to her, she goes, you're going to say intentional sin? Yes, even intentional sin. Because most sins are intentional. We know what we're supposed to do, and we choose to do the wrong thing. How many times do we know we shouldn't have that bitterness in our heart, and yet we have it? That is an intentional sin. I still believe God has enough grace to cover that. Moral sins, doctrinal sins, sins of the heart, greed, lust, all of those. God has enough grace to take care of those sins. Why? Because God has done everything in His power to save me, to save you. He sent His Son. The whole plan of redemption from Adam and Eve onward has been to help take care of our sin problem. But here's what happens. We as Christians, with good intentions, sometimes live our life like God is just looking for every opportunity to condemn us. Well, that's a problem. That's a warped view of God. And I've had people tell me that have left the faith, saying, well, I just couldn't believe in a God that's always looking for a reason to condemn me. He's not. God is not always looking for a reason to send you to hell. In fact, He's looking for every reason to spend eternity with you. He sent His own Son to die on the cross because He's that crazy about us that He wanted to save us. But yet we live our lives a lot of times like God is looking for every opportunity. Oh, I'm going to see if He slips up. Oh, what's He thinking right now? Uh-oh, mind drifted. Condemnation. That's not how God operates. Maybe it's because a lot of times we deal with unhealthy relationships in this life, we assume we have an unhealthy relationship with God. But it's spiritually unhealthy to view God as an abusive father who's looking for every reason to punish you. Now, maybe you had an unhealthy relationship with your dad, and that's why you feel that way about God. But God's not like that. God isn't always looking for a way, a reason to get mad. God is looking for a reason to save. So my point this morning that I want to keep repeating and get across is this. God has done everything in His power to save you. Don't live like He's looking for every opportunity to condemn you. Let's keep proving this idea. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to be bouncing around quite a bit today. Take a lot of notes. Go back. Check out the passages. Make sure I'm using them properly. But 1 John chapter 1. John here is writing to Christians who were being taught to doubt. In fact, there were some false teachers who were telling people, oh, you're not saved. Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh. You can't know that you're right with God. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And in chapter 1, verse 5, here's what the Apostle John writes to these Christians. He says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is eternally good. God is, you know, eternally holy and all of that. And God can't be around darkness. Sin. He goes, if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So there is a possibility for someone to be in darkness. God's in light. If we live a life of darkness, He's not with us. He's not in that fellowship. However, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, and I think in context, walking in the light means walking in the same direction of Jesus, walking toward Him and not away from Him. Okay? If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with everybody else who's in the light, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're reading from an older English Bible, they use that ETH word right there, cleanseth. That means ongoing cleansing. It's an active verb here. So if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleans us of all our sin. That means Cliff Sabro isn't constantly bouncing from lost to saved, lost to saved. Cliff Sabro, when he's walking toward Jesus, is going to stumble, trip, and sin along the way, and he's still being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I need to not focus so much on how quick can I pray for forgiveness, instead focus on walking toward Jesus. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Don't act like you're perfect. Don't act like you got it all figured out. Even while you're in the light, you're going to sin. Admit that. Verse 9, if we confess our sins. Oh, that's the verse I memorized. I got to confess my sins. What's he talking about in context? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now he clarifies it even more. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's not while you're walking in the light, constantly confess every single thing you've done wrong. It's while you're walking in the light, readily admit that you stumble and sin. The Christian life is a life where we're walking toward Jesus and admit that we're not perfect. That's what this passage is talking about. Let's keep reading. Chapter 2, verse 1. Just in case you were confused, he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, because every time I've ever preached on 1 John 1, someone's probably thinking, don't say that, Cliff. You're going to tell people that it's okay to sin. No, John says here, I don't want you to sin. And if anyone sins, well, that's me. I'm that anyone. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is our propitiation, our atonement offering for our sins. And not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. If we're walking toward Jesus, that means walking in the light. If we sin along the way, admit it and trust that God is going to forgive you. Because God is not a mean, cruel, abusive father looking for a reason to condemn. He's looking to spend eternity with you. And he's hoping, you know, well, not hoping, he's helping you along the way. So what are some conclusions then we have with this? Well, if there's walking in the light, that means there's also walking in darkness. Yes. If we're not walking in the light, the opposite of that is walking in darkness. If walking in the light is walking toward Jesus, and walking toward Jesus means you're saved, walking away from Jesus means you're lost. I think that's a conclusion we can make from this. So how do we balance this? How do we understand this? What are some benchmarks on here, or something that we can kind of clarify a little bit? So I kind of listed a few of them here, and this isn't exhaustive. This is just how I kind of articulated it. The opposite of walking in the light is walking in darkness. A Christian leaves the light and is walking in darkness when they do these things. And there's some others, I'm sure. No longer seek to learn and do the Lord's will, you're probably in darkness. If you're no longer living your life thinking, okay, I'm going to try to learn God's will, I'm going to try to follow God's will, I'm going to try to do God's will. If you don't care what God's will is, you're not in the light. A person who's in the light, they might not understand all of God's will, they might not have studied all of God's will, they might not comprehend all of it, but they're trying. And they're seeking to learn it, and they're seeking to follow it. That's the type of person who's saved. A person that says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. Well, that's a person who's in darkness. A person who's in darkness no longer looks for ways to turn from sin and bear fruit for God. That's a person who doesn't repent. A person who doesn't repent, a person who doesn't admit fault, a person that never says that they sin, a person, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, who says they have no sin, that's a person that is in darkness. They are not saved. On the flip side, though, someone who, hey, along the way goes, I'm not perfect, I need Jesus, I sin, that person's in the light. A person who no longer strives to love God and others is in darkness. That's selfishness. A selfish person, self-absorbed, never thinking about others, can't be in the light. A person who no longer admits sin is in darkness, and a person who no longer confesses Christ. And I'm not talking about, like, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God confession, but confession by your lifestyle. Jesus says, if you don't confess me, or I won't confess you, you know, before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. That's how a Christian leaves the light and goes into darkness. On the flip side then, let's put it the other way, just in case we're confused. A Christian is walking in the light, is saved when they seek to learn and do the Lord's will. That shows an attitude that says, I need to learn God. I need to know God. I love His Word. I love what He says. And I'm going to study it. I'm going to not come to it with all this baggage. I'm going to rethink things if I need to. I'm going to open up my heart and receive it. I'm going to change my life when I need to. That's what we do. That's the type of person who's in the light. A person who's always looking for ways to turn from sin and bear fruit for God. I've seen it happen before. Someone becomes a Christian and months later, they realize it's something they didn't even know was a sin, is sinful in Scripture. They go, I'm going to stop doing that. That's a person who's in the light. Not a person that when they get to a passage they don't like, goes, well, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do what I've always done. That's not a person in the light. A person who strives to love God and love others is someone who's in the light and not in the darkness. A person who readily admits their sinfulness, according to 1 John, is in the light and not in darkness, and a person who in every aspect of their life is trying to confess Jesus, that's a person who is in the light. See the difference? The difference is a person in the light, a person who's saved, is a person who's walking toward Jesus, of trying to be like Him. But a person who's lost is someone that says, yeah, Jesus is over here, but I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to walk in my own direction. But what I see in Scripture is this: God saves those who are walking toward Him. Why? Because God has done everything in His power to save you. He sent His own Son to save you. Don't live your life thinking like He's looking for every opportunity to condemn you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to live a perfect life. As you walk toward God, I promise you, you will trip. You will stumble. You will fall. Sometimes you might not even know how you're supposed to walk. And that's okay, because you're in the light and Jesus is walking with you. One of my favorite pictures I ever took, well, I didn't take it, Zinni actually took it, with my children is this one right here. It's kind of blurry on the screen. This is years ago. We're in Morro Bay. I don't know if you can tell, but that's Claire and that's Owen, okay? And this is one of the, we went over the Morro Bay, for, I think for the day or something. And I remember I'm walking with him on the beach. I'm really being specially careful holding Claire's hand because Claire was new to walking, okay, still. Claire was really little, and I wanted to make sure that she was safe, that she was saved in that situation. As we're walking along the beach, sometimes I had to pull Claire in the right direction because she started wandering a different way. Claire would trip on sand and fall. You can't tell in that picture, but I remember her knees were probably dirty because she stumbled along the way, but I keep picking her up. She might have disobeyed me sometimes. Don't get your feet wet, Claire, but you know what happens when you walk a kid on the beach? Stomp, stomp, stomp in the water, right? Don't touch the jellyfish. It'll sting you. Let's stay away from the seaweed. There's flies on it, you know? And along the way, she stumbled. She disobeyed. She tripped. She fell. She did what she wasn't supposed to. She got wet when I told her not to. But she still held on to Dad's hand, and she didn't end up drowning. And she was safe. When we walk with God, when we're walking in the light, as long as we're holding on to our Father's hand, He's going to keep us safe. He loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you. Oh, along the way, you're going to trip, but still hold on to Him. I remember with Claire, when she would start to fall at little ages like that, you kind of do that parent thing where they fall and you kind of do that like hover swoop back up to standing, right? Because their legs give out from under them. You're trying to make sure they don't fall in the sand. That's us with God. We're tripping. We're falling. We're sinning. We're making dumb mistakes. We're doing things He's told us not to do. But as long as we're holding on to His hand and walking in the same direction as Him, He's going to keep us safe. He's going to save us. God has enough grace to take care of all of our sin problems along the way. The problem is a lot of us don't trust in Him. We walk away from Him and we start walking in darkness. My encouragement to you this morning is this: hold on to God's hand. Stay in the light and trust that He will save you. Don't live life with doubt. If you're living a life of constant doubt, you're going to even be doubting that God loves you. And it's not a healthy relationship. If I'm constantly doubting that my wife loves me, oh no, I didn't clean the microwave when I was done with the bacon this morning because I didn't clean the microwave when I was done making bacon this morning. Then she's going to believe me. No, that's not a healthy relationship. I know that she'll forgive me. She might not be happy with me. I probably should have cleaned up the bacon mess in the microwave. But you know what? She loves me, and I know she loves me. And we're going to keep walking in that same direction together. That's a relationship with God. He's a husband to us. He's our heavenly Father. And we have a healthy, wonderful relationship with Him. Not an abusive one. Not a one of neglect. Not a one of vengeance. Not a one where He's looking for a reason to condemn us. He loves us. And He knows, just like a child walking on the beach, sometimes we're going to walk toward the water when we're not supposed to. Sometimes we're going to touch things that are dangerous. And sometimes we're going to trip and fall. But He's going to hold on to us. And He's going to keep us safe. If you don't have that relationship with God this morning, it's time to start having that one. If you're not saved this morning, we'll help you believe in Jesus. We'll baptize you into Jesus Christ. We can do that. But if you're living life with doubt, during the invitation song, even between you and God right now, pray and ask Him to help you trust. Trust that He loves you. And live your life with that confidence. Because that confidence will motivate you to live for Him. Because you're like, my God loves me. He's crazy about me. He sent His Son to die for me. And I'm going to live for Him with every ounce of my being. I'm going to seek first Him and His kingdom. Let's be people that don't live with doubt, but live with confidence. The lesson is yours. If you have a need, you can come as together we stand and as we sing.
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating, and God bless.